This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we're actually talking about something that actually, hopefully you already maybe have, and you can have some, and that's...
You want to know the embarrassing thing? I don't have any.
Oh my God, I do have some!
Okay,
we're talking about salted butter, everybody.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Was this a listener request?
Well, if it was, listener, I'm so sorry, but I don't think it was. Okay. I think that we came up with it.
Came up with the concept of salted butter.
Thank you, us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I took some butter, I slapped some salt in there, I smooshed it all around, and I called it good. Should we go down memory lane?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to lead it off this time.
Okay,
because
please do.
I always have to follow you down memory lane.
That's true.
I want you to follow me for
that
once.
Doesn't seem fair. Okay. I'm gonna follow you down memory lane. How many paces behind do I have to stay as your valet?
I want you to stay at least 3 paces behind.
Okay.
All right. So my salted butter memory lane is not long. I think that growing up, I knew there was such a thing as salted butter the same way I knew that there was, like, leaded gasoline, but you just didn't buy it.
Sure.
Like leaded gasoline.
When I was little, we had a car that did take leaded gasoline.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, man, that is throwing it way back.
Yeah, and when we got rid of leaded gas, that's when things really started to go downhill.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, I remember there being salted butter in the world when I was a kid, but we never bought it. The butter we always used at home was unsalted. And then I think that I first, like, really came to, or I think I first ate salted butter probably out in a restaurant, frankly, either as one of those, like, little butter pats that come, you know, with your toast at a diner, or as whipped salted butter on top of, like, a pancake.
Oh, you know what I learned about whipped butter?
What?
That when you buy, like, a tub of commercial whipped butter, I did a bunch of butter research for this episode, and so I learned some things that are not, like, specifically about salted butter, and I'm going to throw some of those in. When you buy whipped butter, like, in a tub at the supermarket, it's whipped with nitrogen rather than air so that it doesn't go rancid easily.
Whoa, that's cool.
Because oxygen is what makes butter go rancid, and so they whip it with nitrogen.
Is that because it oxidizes things?
That's right.
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm not done.
Okay.
So I think my first encounter with salted butter in a sense, like in a really positive sense, not just like neutral, like here's this stuff that showed up on my pancake. in a really positive sense was, get ready, Matthew, in France.
Okay.
I mean,
I put,
like,
some France stuff on the agenda, although it's coming later.
Yeah, because, you know, France, land of, like, dairy fat in the form of cheese and also incredible butter, specifically from the north of France. I think a lot of people might have heard of Bordier butter.
I'm just going to pretend I've heard of Bordier butter.
I first encountered butter with like the little salt crystals in it, like that you could almost see. They were like glistening in it in France. And then coming back to the U.S., I think I would occasionally buy it, but I was always kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to use this for because I didn't want to cook with it and I didn't want to bake with it. And I didn't actually start keeping salted butter in the house, which now I do. I always have salted and unsalted until I got together with Ash, because Ash always had a butter dish sitting out on the counter with salted butter in it.
Okay,
that makes sense. So yeah, now we have a butter dish with salted butter in it.
Is it one of those ones where it puts the butter in like a layer of water for some reason?
A butter bell.
A butter bell, yes.
Nope. Nope, okay. It's not one of those. No, this is actually, Matthew, you and I were together when I bought this butter dish. I bought it in Tokyo.
Right, at the store that sells lots of white stuff.
The store that sells lots of white stuff, and I think the title translates either to kiss me or fuck me, title of the store. Yeah, it was like Baise-moi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. Unsalted butter lives in the fridge. We use it for cooking and baking. Salted butter lives on the counter, and it gets used for toast.
This is probably
new children's book. Where does salted butter live?
Would there be flaps?
There would be flaps.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so there'd be like a butter bell that you like pull out.
Yep.
Like a Pat the Bunny type of thing.
Yes. And you can lift the lid on the butter dish and you can see like, you know, that somebody's gotten crumbs in the butter.
Right. And the book would somehow have like a genuine wet and or greasy texture, depending on which page.
Yeah.
There's not enough of greasiness in children's books.
Or wetness.
Yeah. Okay. Can I do a little memory lane? Because I really only have a little.
Yeah. And I mean, I should say my memory lane pretty much covered our whole agenda. So the show's going to be over when you finish your memory lane.
Well, I don't know. Like,
okay.
Did you look at this agenda?
I did. I was just messing with you.
Like, wouldn't it be great if the you said that the butter dish you got had writing on it that could be translated as kiss me or fuck me? What if it just said
no,
that
no,
in
no,
English?
That's the name of the store.
Oh, the name of the store. Okay.
The name of the store was Kiss Me or possibly Fuck Me.
Yeah. Okay. So if that was the name of the store in English, Kiss Me or Possibly Fuck Me.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
I wish that were written on the butter dish, but it's not.
I mean, you probably have a Sharpie in the house.
I do.
Okay. So I think we had mostly unsalted butter when I was growing up. And I think like salted versus unsalted butter is a real signifier in American culture.
Yes, I agree.
In the sense that, first of all, salted butter is much more popular in America than unsalted butter. It's about 3-1. And if you're an unsalted butter house, you're either like like food people or health nuts or both, I think.
Oh, I never thought about the health nuts. I figured that they just had like...
I mean, I guess if you're health nuts, you're going to have some kind of butter substitute probably. So maybe just food people.
Yeah.
Like people into baking.
This is so interesting. Yeah, I never, you know, I think I didn't realize that salted butter was that much more popular in the U.S. I feel so much like unsalted butter is the default because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah, no, me too. I did not know what the stats were until I started researching for this episode. So my first real, a couple encounters with salted butter. So when Lori and I lived in New York when she was going to grad school in 1998, 99, we would shop at Fairway Market uptown, which had this big walk-in refrigerator. And they had several brands of butter available, but Plougras was the one that had the best price for some reason. It
yes.
was like cheaper than like the you know, Land O'Lakes or whatever. And so we would buy Plougras in this 1 pound block, and it was this very rich European style salted butter.
Wait a minute. I've always figured that the name of it was a combination of the words plou and gras, which would be more fat, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
That stuff is great. I associate that butter, the taste and texture of that butter with living in New York and like discovering all kinds of new foods and becoming a food person.
Wow. wow, that's so cool. I just took a bite of English muffin. Whoops.
Okay, I'll go on.
I was hoping you'd talk for a while.
Do you remember back in the e-gullet days when we both participated in this online food forum in the early 2000s, that everyone got really excited about Vermont Butter and Cheese Company's salted cultured butter for a while?
I don't know if I remember that.
Well, it was a huge event. Everybody was talking about it. Maybe you were absent that day. No, I remember people recommending this butter on Eagle, and we found it at some semi-fancy store, and it's really good. It comes in like a log. I think actually the packaging has changed, and actually the name of the company has changed too. Now it's called Vermont Creamery, but it's their salted European style cultured butter, and it's a very good butter with a nice saltiness to it.
And it has crystals of sea salt
in
it, right?
That's right.
I do wonder if it was one of the first in the U.S. to sell butter that had visible crystals in it.
I think probably so.
Okay.
Okay. So can I just dive into what I learned?
Please.
And you can interrupt at will.
What did you learn?
What have we learned? Well, what have me learned?
Oh, this is going to be our Cookie Monster show.
As soon as I said that, like Cookie Monster, I can hear Cookie Monster like knocking at the edges of my brain.
What
have me learned?
Do the next little part in Cookie Monster voice.
I can only do it when I'm not trying to think about it too hard.
Oh,
salt is added to butter. It's both a flavoring agent and preservative. How was that?
I loved it. Oh,
Thank you. 10
stars.
Okay, so salt is added to butter as both a flavoring agent and a preservative. And I have to read this from the Wikipedia butter article, even though it kind of has nothing to do with salted butter.
Okay.
Quote, the ancient Greeks and Romans seem to have considered butter a food fit more for the northern barbarians. A play by the Greek comic poet Anaxandrides refers to Thracians as buterophagoi, butter eaters. In his Natural History, Pliny the Elder calls butter, quote, the most delicate of food among barbarous nations.
What?
And goes on to describe its medicinal properties. Later, the physician Galen also described butter as a medicinal agent only.
Wow, this is fascinating.
Like,
fit for northern barbarians.
Food
of barbarous nations.
I don't really know what they meant. I mean, like, did they mean like Sweden?
I do. I think they meant Sweden.
Okay.
No, but I kind of picture... were these barbarous nations, like, you know, were they like walking around with like, you know, sort of Flintstones attire on, maybe like gnawing on, you know, meat? And were they like, you know, these like coarse,
sea salt?
Coarse, you know, herding people. And so they used butter for their fat because they had cows?
I think so. Yeah, they were CHPs, coarse herding people. I think they probably like rubbed butter just on everything. I mean, they used it as a medicinal agent, apparently.
I think that seems right.
So maybe they were injecting it?
Huh.
Or just like sticking it up places?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what I got for ancient history. I learned, which I sort of knew, but didn't realize it was like a standard in the industry, that the printing on unsalted butter wrappers is typically red, while that for salted butter is typically blue. The wrappers of the actual sticks. And the amount of butter fat in butter is tightly regulated. It has to be a minimum of 80%, and the rest is mostly water. But the amount of salt in salted butter is not. So if you call your butter unsalted, it can't have any added salt. But if you call your butter salted, as long as it has some amount of added salt, that's fine. It can be any amount.
That's interesting.
So the National Dairy Council found that commercial salted butter generally contains about 1.6 to 1.7% salt, but it's really up to each brand, and it can vary quite a bit. Like, the saltiest brands have almost twice as much salt as the least salty salted butter brands.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. So, like, what does that work out to in terms of, like, a teaspoon of salt per stick? What is
that? I'm so glad you asked. So a stick of butter is a quarter pound or half a cup. Is that right? Half a cup? Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
And 1.7% salt is 2 grams per stick, and 2 grams of salt is about a quarter to a third teaspoon of table salt.
Huh. Okay.
So I guess, not a huge amount.
Yeah, that's not a huge amount. When I think about, you know, for instance, how much salt I use in cooking or in like a batch of pesto or something.
Yeah, like in a batch of pesto. That's the first thing that came to mind.
Well, I was thinking a batch of pesto, like my usual batch size of pesto uses a half cup of oil. So I was thinking half cup of fat.
And your usual batch size of pesto is 5 gallons. It's an oil drum. 50, 40. How much is an oil drum? Like 55 gallons?
That's what came to mind.
We're supposed to know these things.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, anyway, Matthew, when do you choose salt? Well, do you tend to have both?
I tend to have unsalted butter, although like in the early days of the pandemic, unsalted butter was in short supply for a time. We were getting salted butter and it didn't seem to make much difference, which I will get to in great detail. So I started Googling around for like, when should you choose unsalted versus salted butter? Because I like to be told what to do. And I found on the Land O'Lakes site, here's what they say. Both salted and unsalted butters are made of the very same grade AA quality butter, but salted butter has salt added to it. That's it. Both salted butter and unsalted butter can be used interchangeably in any recipe, but if the recipe calls specifically for unsalted butter, it's probably because the recipe has been tested with it and it's the preferred butter for that particular recipe. So I learned a whole lot from that webpage.
Wow. Thanks a lot, Land O'Lakes.
So to summarize, salted butter has salt added to it and it can be used interchangeably with unsalted butter, except when it can't. So baking recipes tend to call for unsalted butter. And I started wondering, like, how bad is it if you just use salted butter in place of unsalted butter in a baking recipe? Have you ever gone down this road?
I have not, actually. I have baked things that called for salted butter, and I've used salted butter there. But in general, I feel like it's... So here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Sometimes when Ash is making pancakes, they just grease the pan with the butter in the butter dish.
Sure.
Which is salted butter. I always open up the fridge, get out some unsalted butter, shave a bit off, and grease the pan with that.
You're a butter shaver.
And I think that you can... I think that, like, I don't like the taste of a pancake cooked in salted butter. Like, it's... I don't know. It's not what I'm looking for. And so
that's interesting.
Like, I don't want that. If I'm going to have salted butter near my pancake, I want it on top of it. I don't want it anywhere unintentional.
So I cook pancakes in oil, which now, as I say that, I feel like that makes me a northern barbarian of some kind.
I used to cook my pancakes in oil. And well, the truth is I cook my pancakes in a nonstick skillet. So I put butter in for like the first pancake and then that's it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm afraid like the butter is going to get burned.
It does sometimes a little bit, but not really.
Okay, so I started looking around for like what happens if you just use salted butter for everything, and I found this like fiery rant of a blog post from the Chopping Block blog, which we'll link to in the show notes, that says everyone should use salted butter, and the author is Chef Max Hull, and his argument is that since salted butter already tastes well seasoned by itself, you're not going to make anything too salty by using it in a recipe, and that includes baking recipes.
Wait a minute, that argument doesn't make any sense.
We'll get there.
Okay.
But the only baking recipes he tried were a buttercream frosting recipe and a chocolate cake. So then I went to Good Housekeeping, and they had a 2013 article, Salted Butter versus Unsalted Butter. Does it matter? And they did a double-blind tasting of cupcakes made three ways, with unsalted butter and added salt, with salted butter and added salt, and with salted butter and no added salt.
Okay.
And the results were conclusive. The vast majority of tasters preferred either the unsalted butter plus salt or the salted butter plus no added salt cupcakes. The salted butter plus salt were too salty.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yep. On the other hand, they still liked all the cupcakes. And when the more I read about this, the more I was like, okay, like if you use salted butter in a recipe that calls for unsalted butter, it's not going to ruin it. It just might just come out a little bit different from the original intention.
I would also say that, so you might have heard of Alison Roman's cookie recipe that took the world by storm a couple years ago.
Yes, the salted butter chocolate
chunk shortbread. Yeah. So I've made those a number of times. It's as good as they say. And she calls for, of course, salted butter. But she also says in like a little side note that you can use unsalted butter and add X amount of kosher salt if you don't have salted butter. And I have done both. And I could taste a difference. I preferred it with the salted butter.
Interesting.
So I do think that there is, you know, I don't know if it's just that, you know, even though she gave me a salt quantity to add to the unsalted butter, like there was just probably that much variance between that amount and what was in the salted butter that I otherwise would have used.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just that I'm used to the taste of those cookies with that salted butter, but I could really taste the difference.
Yeah, I think what it is that baking is all about consistency. And so bakers are not going to write a recipe where one of the ingredients can vary up to like 100% in how much salt it contains.
Yeah.
It's not that there's anything inherently wrong with salted butter for baking. It's just like you lose that little edge of control.
Yeah, you lose that precision because there's this uncontrolled variable that is the brand of salted butter, et cetera.
This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No.
In the world.
You don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh, okay.
So, and for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on MasterClass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on MasterClass.
Yeah, well, MasterClass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Okay, so what about butter as a condiment? This is something I think you're much more comfortable with than I am. Like, as you know, I grew up thoroughly condiment phobic, and I'm still a little bit skeeved out by the idea of like spreading solid or like room temperature butter on something and eating it. Like, I love melted butter in any context, medical or culinary.
This is fascinating to me, Matthew.
I know, it's so weird.
I think few things are more satisfying to me than like taking a piece of like great bread that I've toasted straight out of the toaster. It's nice and hot, and I watch butter melt on the top of it. Like, smear butter across and watch it melt.
Yeah,
love
listeners,
that.
You're with me, right? That's gross. Can we all agree on this? Molly's weird.
Okay. Anyway, but all this to say, I was only converted to using salted butter in like condiment situations like 4 years ago. But my butter intake has increased a lot since then because it's so delicious. Yeah, if I am toasting an English muffin, well, I'm having an English muffin actually right now, but it has peanut butter on it. But
okay.
If I'm toasting an English muffin, if I'm toasting any kind of bread, the butter that I'm going to reach for is salted butter, usually at room temperature. Although, worse comes to worse, I love kind of like shaving off a little curl of cold butter. And
we already established this. You're a butter shaver.
I'm a butter shaver. I'm part of the Northern Tribe of Butter Shavers.
Yes.
Anyway... salted...
They use butter as currency as well. You could shave off any amount you needed to, like, for a purchase.
So, salted butter also, you know, here's an iconic use for it. With radishes, right? I mean, you know I'm bringing back the Francophile side of me.
Yes.
But radishes with salted butter... It doesn't get better than that, really.
Like sliced on bread?
Or... So people have many different ways of doing this. What I tend to like is to take a slice of baguette or a hunk of bread, spread some salted butter on it. Actually, and this is an instance where I think cold butter is really nice, like where you leave like tooth marks in it when you bite in.
Yeah, I just can't do it.
And then thinly shaved radish, and then even a little bit more salt on top of the radish. Mm-hmm. But you definitely need salted butter here, or if not salted butter, sometimes when I've been presented with this, like at a restaurant or maybe somebody else's home or something, they will have like a little dish of butter that that they've let sit out at room temp and sprinkled a bunch of crunchy salt onto, and then you kind of, you know. When you take a little bit of it, you get some of the salt flakes.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So yeah, butter and radishes, that's got to be salted butter all the way.
Big yeah, I totally get that. Like if I were going to eat that, which I think in the right context, I would definitely want it to be salted butter.
Yeah.
What brand, do you have a brand that you're loyal to or brands that you look for when you buy salted butter?
So here's the thing. We tend to use salted butter in stick form because that's what kind of fits the best in our butter dish.
Yeah, that
Although,
makes sense.
Actually, now that I think about it, one of those like, you know, kind of more square blocks, like a plugra type thing would also fit. So I don't even know what I'm
like
talking about.
Like the whole pound?
Yeah, I think we could fit the whole pound in this butter dish.
That's a lot of butter that to be kind of sweating on your counter.
Well, I also think that the reason we get sticks is that is about the maximum amount that I want to leave out at room temp at any given time. So we tend to buy Tillamook brand butter, both salted and unsalted.
We often buy that too.
Yeah, I like that it is regional, made in Oregon, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been to the Tillamook factory. Have you?
I think I've driven past it.
Yeah. Lori and I both went there as kids, not together. It really made an impression on me. Like you see them like making the cheddar and like curdling the milk and kneading it into loaves and stuff. It was super cool.
Wow. I must not have gone in. I do remember driving past it doing like a road trip down the coast to California. By the way, like I really love... This month, actually last month when this thing airs, September marks my 18th year in Seattle.
Congratulations, I think.
I know for you it's 6 years more than that, so you're 24 years.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I love
Happy day after your birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I love that I've been here long enough that something that is like a real regional, like Northwest thing, like Tillamook cheddar or Tillamook butter, just feels normal to me. Like, of course, the brand of cheddar I buy is Tillamook.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
Tillamook
that's
cheddar
kind of
is
fun.
Such a good product.
It's
like,
a
as
really
far
good
as like
product.
Industrial food products go, like, it's basically the best.
It's really, really good. Anyway, I'm not done, Matthew.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, so yeah, we buy Tillamook salted and unsalted butter in the, you know, the half cup sticks. But I do occasionally, God, if I stop by Trader Joe's and they've got Kerrygold, oh my God, it's what, like, ridiculously cheap at Trader Joe's. So I love Kerrygold salted butter. I think that truthfully... That may be my favorite, like, you know, easily, readily available grocery store salted butter is Kerrygold.
Yeah, I put it on the shopping list, even knowing that we weren't going to be getting to the store before this episode. I just want some of that Kerrygold salted butter around.
It's so good. I vastly prefer it over Plugra. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And I think over Lurpak, too, which is another one that we often
Lurpak
find
is the
here.
Most fun to say of any of them, though. Is that Danish?
I think it is. Lurpak, I don't have any strong feelings about either way. Like, I think it's tasty. Plougra, I have baked a little bit with Plougra unsalted, and my baked goods, I was making like a shortbread, and my shortbread came out with this weird like butter flavor.
Mm.
It was gross. I mean,
it could be they're adding butter flavor to their butter. I think you're allowed to do that.
Well, anyway, I noticed that in Plougra, and I have to say I've never bought it since.
Yeah, I just have fond memories of it. I don't think I've bought it in a while either.
Yeah. But anyway, Kerrygold all the way, but I don't buy it often. I honestly, we go through a pretty high amount of butter around here because we do a lot of baking. So I like that Tillamook is also reasonably priced.
Yeah, me too. I have a couple more things about salted butter, but like we owe the listeners a check-in about your dinner with Tony Negroni. How was your dinner with Tony Negroni, and did you ask her what her summer beverage was?
Forgot to call her Tony Negroni.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I also forgot to ask her about her summer beverage.
Okay. So, listeners.
Oh, my God.
We apologize.
Oh, my God.
We prostrate ourselves before you. And you'll see her again sometime, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
So, next time, you need to call her Tony Negroni and ask what her summer cocktail was.
By the time we went over to her house, it was like 7 p.m., and seriously, I walked into the house and then sat down in the most comfortable chair in her living room and then proceeded to kind of slide down it until I was almost lying in it.
Oh, I hear you.
And I just stayed there until dinner was served.
Yeah. Like, your name's Tony Negroni.
No, it was by 7 p.m. on a Monday, this is the best I can do, lying in a chair, using it like a bed.
Oh, yeah. No, yesterday I was like destroyed by 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get back to you on that, listeners. I found a great article by Charlotte Druckman in the Washington Post in 2018 about the return of salted butter and like why people are using it for everything, including baking and savory dishes and whatever.
What did she say?
It's just she talked to a lot of like chefs and food writers about why they grew up with unsalted butter and that was considered like the culinary choice, and now like good salted butter seems to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it has everything to do. I haven't read this article, but I think it has everything to do with the idea of butter as a condiment. Like,
yeah,
it's really made a comeback after the like fat phobic years of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, and if you're gonna have a condiment, like you want the condiment to be well seasoned.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Are you ready to go to France?
I am.
I learned some things about... I'm ready to fucking go anywhere, frankly.
Oh, my God, please. Put me in a dumpster and just wheel me around town. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds great. Like, could it be like a self-driving dumpster that we just both get in and just pop our heads out periodically?
Do you remember...
And wave at the public?
Do you remember at the beginning of the Neverending Story when Bastion is being chased through the city by these three bullies and he jumps into... or maybe they've put him in a dumpster.
Yeah.
But do you remember that?
Yes.
Like, maybe we could get Falcor on board for this.
Maybe we could get Falcor on board.
We could hook up the Falcor. I mean,
we could put one of those little little bumper stickers on our dumpster that says Falcor on board. It has a little silhouette of a dragon.
I think that we should attach the dumpster, like with ropes to Falcor's back legs, and then when he flies around town, he drags the dumpster with him.
So wait, okay. So is the dumpster like does he fly with such vigor that the dumpster is like being pulled through the air behind him, or is the dumpster still on the ground and his tail is kind of drooping because dumpsters are so heavy?
I think that actually he flies with such vigor that the dumpster leaves the ground.
Yes, that is my dream too, to be to get in a dumpster with my best friend and be pulled through the sky by a friendly dragon.
Wait, can I tell you?
I think someday, like, you know, I know we can't do this now, but someday we're going to make this happen.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Can I tell you one other thing about large flying animals?
Yes.
That are mythical.
Please.
So June has recently been really taken with this show called Avatar on Netflix.
Iris has been watching it too. I hear it's great.
It's really, really good. You should watch it. Now we're all really into it. But anyway, Aang, who is the Avatar, his mode of transportation is flying bison.
Flying bison.
It's so cool. I love it. And this bison looks like it could be like a cousin of Totoro, you know, like it's got this like very sort of grouchy but lovable, huge oversized face, huge oversized mouth. But what I love most is it also has like six legs, kind of like the cat bus.
Yeah.
The cat bus has what, like eight legs? Ten legs, right? Okay. The flying bison, whose name is Appa, has three legs on either side, and then this big wide tail that's kind of like a platypus tail. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when he flies through the sky, he seriously just... I love that the animators made this decision. There's no part of him that looks vigorous. Like, he just sort of like...
People say that about me a lot, too.
Like the way that he looks standing on the ground is the same way that he looks flying through the air. Like
his legs.
Yes, he droops through the air. And it delights me. Like there's nothing like the cat bus's legs move, right? As it is flying, running, and whatever. Running. No.
Oh, I'm looking at pictures now. This is adorable.
Isn't it adorable? But he seriously droops through the air.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, 10 stars for Avatar. I give it the same rating as Matthew's Cookie Monster impression.
Thank you. And could we hook our dumpster to a variety of flying animals and see which one gives the best ride?
Yeah. I mean, I'm here to say that Appa seems a little bit like, it seems like Appa has something going on with him. Like, for a while, he couldn't even fly. Like, he just had to kind of, like, swim. So I don't know if Appa is going to be our best choice, but he's way up there in cuteness.
Well, I think being pulled through the water by a swimming beast could also be great in kind of like a water skiing, like trash water skiing sort of way.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Against the front of the dumpster, like looking over the edge as we careen through the water at high speed or low speed, depending.
This sounds great. And I bet it would kind of have an effect like a motorboat does when it gets going really fast and the front sort of tilts up and there's like a lot of slapping of the water. Mm-hmm. I think that the dumpster would probably do that too.
Oh, yeah. I love motorboating. And I also like being out on the water. So dumb.
Oh, that was so dumb. All right, let's go to France.
Let's go to France. Okay, so in Bretagne, beurre salé is a local treasure, and it is
le beurre
salé, very salty.
C'est un trésor local. Wow, it's been a long time since I've spoken French. That was rough.
That's good. In Brittany, there are three
salé
types of butter that are widely available. There's doux, demi-sel, and salé. And the demi-sel is anywhere from about 0.5% to 3% salt, and salé is over 3%. So that means the salé starts at about twice as salty as American salted butter and can go up from there.
That's a lot of salt. I think that what I have often... So beurre bordier, B-O-R-D-I-E-R, is made by some... I think it's like Yves Bordier or something like that. I'm probably getting this all wrong. Ignore me. Anyway, it's a person's name. But you can buy it now in places in Paris and elsewhere. I'm sure there are even places in the U.S. that carry it and sell it for a fucking fortune.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like wrapped in parchment and printed in this really sort of like old style kind of way. But I think what I've always had from there is demi-sel, because it seems to me that the salé would be like memorably over the top.
Yeah. Like the thing, I didn't really get a good sense of like what all the salé butter is used for, except for crepe or crepes.
Oh, beurre salé.
And caramel.
You know what is a wonderful use of really good French butter? So when you're eating oysters in France, generally they will bring you a basket of bread or a baguette, or sometimes kind of a more like dense bread, not quite like a German seeded bread, but pointing in that direction. And a little pot of salted butter. And so like the accompaniment to your oysters on the half shell is bread and delicious salted butter. And that is so
That sounds great.
Good. It's so good. When Renee Erickson opened The Walrus and the Carpenter here in Seattle, of course, she made a nod to France by doing like I just forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, serving oysters on the half shell with salted butter and really good bread. Yeah.
When I was, first of all, so I was Googling in French, which, as you know, makes me feel like a superhero whenever I'm Googling in a foreign language. And I found this map that, if I can find it again, I didn't save the link, but I think I can probably find it again, and we'll link to it in the episode description, that it was a map of France by province. And for each one, it had the percentage of salted butter sold. So overall, France is pretty evenly divided between salted and unsalted butter. But in Brittany, 89% of the butter sold is salted.
Wow. Like, that's so interesting. That's a huge percentage.
Yeah. I don't know, like, what regional differences exist in the U.S. I didn't find that map. But in France, there really are still, like, really strong regional food traditions. I like it.
Yeah, I know.
We should go there via flying dumpster.
I was about to say that I feel like every country but the U.S. has regional food traditions.
Well, I mean, the U.S. does have regional food traditions.
I mean, like, the food of the South, I mean, you know, we could also talk about Creole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What about hot dishes
in
the Midwest?
No, I'm not saying these don't. You're right. No, I'm probably, like, you know, not paying attention, ignoring, like, the cultural variations, the regional variations in my own country, just because, like, because our country is kind of riding in a dumpster. But
I thought we were going to get through a whole episode.
I know, but it's nice to, like, look across the pond and see, like, you know, like, in Brittany, they really like salted butter, like. That seems
wholesome.
Wholesome and harmless, yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, I was going to say one other thing about butter, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
All right, so you can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com and facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where we'd like to know, like, which kind of butter did you grow up with, and what do you do with salted butter today, if indeed you do anything?
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, do you do anything? Like, what? Forget the whole butter thing. Like, if you were going to ride in a dumpster, do any of you live in a quaint village in northern Sweden where they still use shaved butter as currency? We'd love to hear about that. we made up.
Are any of you barbarous?
Well, I mean, definitely.
Okay, but are any of you...
That just means bearded, right? I'm barbarous.
What about northern barbarians, though? I guess you're a northern barbarian.
Well, I mean, I live in the northern part of the country.
Okay, well, anyway, I would love to know, if you were going to ride in a dumpster that was being pulled by some sort of mythical animal or beast, what mythical animal or beast would it be?
That is a great question. I was thinking the same thing, like a griffin or a chimera or a Bigfoot.
Maybe Buckbeak.
Maybe the Jersey Devil.
Maybe Totoro when he's flying around with his umbrella.
Maybe the Chupacabra, which would occasionally swoop down to suck a goat and then, like, take back to the air.
Oh, maybe Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Wait, I can't remember. Was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang like an enchanted car?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Maybe Herbie the Love Bug. Okay. Maybe Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, like, my God, I loved Bedknobs and Broomsticks so much. Would it be a flying bed that would be pulling your dumpster?
Right. So you don't get to ride on the bed. Like, the bed's like, no, I'm
no.
Forget it. Like, you're gross. Like, you don't get to ride on me, but I will pull you in this dumpster.
Okay, great. All right. Maybe it would be Mary Poppins. Maybe she would be pulling your flying dumpster.
That's true. Mary Poppins is a flying mythical animal.
She is.
You can't argue with that.
No.
That'd be great. Okay. Yeah, no, she unfurls her umbrella, hitches herself to a dumpster, and just, like, takes you to the next play date.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hipster Burton. You know what? It's not even worth it. Like, I thought this was funny when the thought popped into my head, and now with some time to reflect, it's not.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong.
Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.